Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. In this world, there are so many in need of prayer. We pray for the needs of our church family, for those who are in our neighborhood, and we pray for those who are persecuted, those who are in difficulty everywhere on this earth because of their faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. It is amazing to me that God hears our prayers and responds to our prayers instantly. Well, it doesn't say that word for word in the Bible, but we have the example of Daniel's prayer being heard and responded to just about immediately. That's in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. It says something like, "From the first day that Daniel set his heart to understand, God responded." And what happened after that? There was a spiritual battle between the angels. You know, between an angel faithful to God and a fallen angel. And this kind of battle is described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Certainly, that is what Daniel faced in that day, and that is what we are faced with today. Often enough, we do not recognize the spiritual battle because day after day in life, we deal with our physical world, like our body or needs for food and warmth, or a hug. We deal with physical things. And yet we realize the importance of our spiritual battle as we deal with our physical life. It's not always easy to recognize because we think of the physical, but really it's all spiritual. Now, if we don't look at these differences, we won't even see. So look, and it is surprising to me how many people don't want to even look into any other matter which might challenge them or their thinking or require work or sacrifice. And even if it would benefit the kingdom of God, they still don't want to do it. This is a question of faith versus works. Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's about obedience. It's a good question. And, well, on one hand, I can understand a person who would say, "I'm done. I have my Jesus ticket to heaven. I don't need to consider anything else." But on the other hand, we are called to be compassionate and to care for others. That's in love thy neighbor as thyself, that great commandment in Matthew. But I would not judge you in what you do or what you do not do. Really, I think we are to judge ourselves. There's something about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31. It goes something like, "Judge for yourself. Judge yourself first, so that you do not come under God's judgment." Okay, that's what I recall, but please read all these things for yourself. It's so important to study the Bible for yourself. It's very important. On Christ Today, I don't do a Bible study, but I mention verses now and then which relate to a topic, and I hope it will inspire your thoughts. But Bible study, that's different. About Bible studies, I have heard people say that they use the 2020 method of Bible study, and that's where they read 20 verses before and 20 verses after the one verse that they want to examine. And yeah, that's good. However we read the Bible, we also must include prayer. I know when I've looked at cults or some churches, they want to focus only on a few verses. And they pretty much will ignore the rest of the Bible. That's one way of looking at how it's done. And yet, we also have testimonies where a new believer comes to faith after realizing that the importance of a specific verse. It can be just based on one verse that someone becomes a believer in Christ. It's always different, but I think we should use whatever tools we have, whatever knowledge and information we have, to try to get a complete answer. And not just listen to what somebody will tell you about. Not just what somebody says is the best for you. Nope, read it yourself and read the whole book and the whole Bible. But let's go back to that first step. And that first step is pray, pray, pray. That's the first step. And you can read the Bible all throughout your life and always remember to pray. I remember when I was just investigating a belief in God. And I'll tell you my first prayer. It was the first heartfelt prayer that I'd made. And this was one in the middle of my life, and this was before I was a Christ follower. And I prayed, God, I don't know if you are real, but if you are, show me. And over the course of time, God did. He answered that prayer. Yep, he did. Now, God can show you, and he can lead you, and he can direct you to godly knowledge and truth. And aren't we grateful that we can recognize and follow the righteousness of God and of the righteousness of his Son, Jesus? And they are in heaven and not in this world. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look at the difference between heaven and this earth. Sometimes things go very correct, and sometimes they don't here on earth. God made us. God made the earth. Do you ever wonder why it isn't just perfect? It's because God has given us free will. He has given us the ability to choose him or the world. That's what I see as the big picture. What do you choose? Do you choose a holy relationship or an earthly relationship with earthly riches? Choices, choices. Well, just a few weeks ago, there was a newspaper story about the betrayal by a son. And it happened within the El Chapo drug cartel. El Chapo had a partner, and that partner had a son. And that son was being groomed for leadership in that organization. So he worked on every level of that organization. That son was exposed to the working details on every level. But then, in 2009, he was arrested in the United States. And in very recent court testimony, that son said for a while the DEA had let him run his drug business freely in exchange for information about his rivals. The DEA will not confirm this testimony, so we can only know if it is true by that testimony, so we don't know. But about that Sinaloa drug cartel, and that drug cartel having a very complex system of drug deliveries and enforcement of their rules and of bribery. This man, son, he was a son, he gave lots of details of all of it. He talked about bribery of $500,000 per month to one Mexican general, and another $1 million of U.S. dollars per month to bribes going to many people and many officials in the U.S. and Mexico. Oh, there were stories, stories of bribery, stories of beatings, and worse. And the drug shipments using all sorts of means to get them from those drugs from one place to another. Plus, he told just too many horrible and nefarious stories about events that happened. Well, I bring this up as a reality of the world. And in this case, it included the promises of immense wealth, and then corruption, and then betrayal. And all this from a once loyal son. And there's a contrast here. In this case, there is a self-oriented earthly man, no, son, seeking promises of immediate wealth, earthly wealth, and it fails. Now, the reason I bring this up is to contrast it to the spiritually pure and holy wealth which we must have patience to receive from God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We want that spiritually pure, holy wealth from God through Jesus Christ. And this is a part of our choice. Our choice, what is our choice? Is it to orient towards an eternal heaven or towards earthly riches, which include an earth, which include an eternal hell? We all choose. Which do we choose? And the life that we live will be the proof of our choice. Well, no man is to judge the eternal destiny of another. But so many men form opinions, oh, don't they? Please, form your own opinion about your own self based in spiritual, biblical understanding. But we are not to judge others. In Scripture, Jesus spoke more about hell than about heaven. So I think it is okay for us to speak about hell. And maybe we don't have to say much about the fire and brimstone aspect of, preaching about hell. But let's acknowledge that the Bible does speak about the reality of hell. To me, it's about the same that we look at reality. Reality that goes on in the physical world around us. It's just a reality, just like the other ones. So we get to deal with all the realities. In this life, there's realities of not enough money, of taxes, of reality issues, relationship issues, or things like store closures and health matters. All these things are real, and we face them in life day to day. And lately, we've had the fires. And before that, there was the threat of the Oroville Dam breaking. All these things we deal with. They're in the world and all around us. And all in all, our world has many aspects to it. Some are disappointments and some are conflicts. Our world is not perfect. We would like it to be, but it's not. One day our spiritual world will be perfect, but our physical world is not. And it's no surprise when you really consider why, because there's so many worldly people, and they come from so many economic backgrounds, and we can see that, or they see that trouble is coming. We see that trouble is coming. And there's so many people from so many directions that see trouble is approaching us. And I know I talk to plenty of people about these kinds of things. Half of the people respond acknowledging that trouble is coming. And they say, but I don't want to be here when the trouble comes. I hope God takes me away first. Well, brother and sister, consider that God has put you here right now for a time such as this. Therefore, God wants you to go through whatever is ahead of us. And so let us be a faithful and true witness. Let us bring glory to God by our life and by our example. We are here for a time such as this. And each of us can be thankful that God has put us here now at such an important time as this. We have a role to fulfill in His plan. Praise God! May we bring glory to God as we seek to obey Him and as we seek to do His will. Many of us say that we belong to God. And I wonder, could that mean that we desire to do His will before we desire to do our own will? Yeah, I would think so. Oh, but it can be such a challenge to pay more attention to doing God's will than our own will, especially if we see the worldly material issues around us. It often divides our thinking. So often, I do talk about worldly and political and monetary issues because they get my attention. Yes, and it's a normal and natural thing for me because for decades, I have looked into those financial and political and international areas from a secular point of view. And after I did that for decades, I looked from a biblical, Christ-oriented point of view as a man who followed Christ. And I am thankful that I belong to God now. And if I die soon, I am the Lord's. And if I live in plenty or in poverty, I am the Lord's. So, be content with what you have. I try to be. And I know that I have plenty of concern for the people around me. And I have interest in, like, history. And I have had experience in observing business situations. And what I see ahead is that there could be a very big and very quick change. And because of what the Bible tells us is coming, and because of what the conditions will be at the coming of the end of the age, it all kind of concerns me that it could be a pretty quick thing, or it could be years away too. I don't know, and really I don't know that anybody knows, but when I see how these big changes could come about at any time now, well, I get concerned. Now, that's not fearful, that's just concern. And we are not to have any fear. Fear is not what we are to embrace. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." All right, so grasp onto that. And still, you can look at if you ought to be prepared for difficulty. Yes, that's not the same as being concerned and fearful. It's just concerned and prepared. But here's a thought. If you have no preparedness, you might be a little concerned. I guess some people could be fearful too. Well, on the other hand, I do talk to plenty of people, and plenty of people say they do not have to be prepared at all. They trust the Lord to provide for them. It is surprising to me how many people say that. They seem to be willing to accept a future which could involve a death by starvation. And that is happening to many Christians in many parts of the world. These people will also seem to be willing to accept a future which could involve death by circumstances. Circumstances that involve an active or a violent persecution. Again, that is happening to many Christians in many parts of the world. And are you concerned or not? That is a question which you get to determine. Should you be concerned? Should you get preparations? Good question. I know there are people who want to look back to World War II and the trouble and persecution which the Jews went through. Could that happen again? Well, I don't know what to tell you, but there's a lot of people who think it could happen again to the Christians and even the Jews as well. So you can observe history, and you can observe what is going on today, and you can make your own choices. But you get the consequences of your choice. I was thinking about this as an example of preparedness, and I was thinking, if you had to drive down several miles of a gravel and rock road, and you were out of cell phone range, and there were no payphones or homes for miles around you, would you feel more comfortable if you had two spare tires or no spare tires? Because to me, a spare tire goes right along with the thinking of having extra, spare preparations, some extra food, some extra warmth, clothing. It's a question that we all get to decide. It's not like there's a real answer, but we do get the consequences of our decisions. And I also want to say that if you have spare food and supplies, you can be more sharing and more merciful with other people who are in need. So it's a question only you can answer, but please consider it. I know a part of me gets concerned when I hear about the average American. One study shows that 58% of Americans have less than $1,000 in available savings, and that it would take the average American it was 3 weeks to raise $2,000 if they had an emergency expense. So, yeah, I still wonder about what that means, but we have a situation that we can just plain be aware of. And how can I not think back to a month ago? A month ago, there was the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. They, in cooperation with Homeland Security, recommended that everyone should have a 6-month supply of food on hand. And don't forget the water or a water filter. What could they see as coming this way? I just have to wonder, how could they make that recommendation for 6 months of food on hand for everybody? Well, I guess if you think of things, you can think of Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. In those chapters, it talks about wars and rumors of wars that will be coming. And it talks about famine and pestilence. So is that in our future? It just might be. Are you somebody who thinks that our God, the God of the Bible, will protect a nation which has removed God's name and God's commandment from public and governmental buildings and areas? Are you someone who thinks that God will protect a nation that has had legally protected abortions which killed about 70 million babies? Well, God hates the death of innocents. And we have to wonder, what will the consequences be and when will they hit us? Well, we do have a history of legalized abortion, and it does matter. I think of Thomas Jefferson. 200 years ago, he wrote, "Our God is a just God, and his justice cannot sleep forever." And that makes me wonder, at what point will we get our justice? I sure don't know, but I wonder about it. I think of Henry Grover, who prayer walked America. And he tells of how he walked through areas and he could hear the blood of the innocent crying out from the sewers from the abortion clinics. How he cried out to God to alleviate those sins and that pain. Oh God, we are all sorts of sinners and we ask for mercy. And oh my, my, isn't it easier to talk about war than the blood of the innocent? Well, just now, let's think about Jeremiah 29:11. And it pretty much says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Yes, indeed. Remember that it is God's plan for you to fulfill, and not your plans for God to fulfill for you. Our position in this is to submit to God, and then we share in God's plan for a future and a hope. Let's look at that Isaiah 45:9. Where the potter tells the clay what to do. And it is noted that the clay does not tell the potter what to do. That's a concept of our submission. That's a concept of an idea expressed in Romans 9:21. Now, we can look at the Old Testament example or the New Testament examples. For me, I've found the Old Testament and the New Testament to have ideas which all line up with each other. I think the big thing we can do is to read prayerfully and carefully and ask God to show us what it is He would have us to see. Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm thinking of eclipses right now, and we are on the verge of a lunar eclipse that will give both North America and South America 1 hour of total eclipse on January 20th. We'll see a 1 hour total eclipse and 3 hours of partial eclipse on Sunday evening. People find eclipses really interesting. I do. Other people do. But animals can react a lot more. The animals are often eerily quiet when there is an eclipse. And you might have a different experience, but that's mine. Eclipses are interesting. historians and church people have looked and found that eclipses have often indicated that a notable change was coming. It wasn't necessarily an immediate change, and it could even be years, quite a few years away, but it does indicate a change by those people who looked at it. That's what they saw. So there are people today who view this January 20th eclipse as the last one in a series of blood moons. Those first ones of that initial triad were April 15th of 2014, and the last one was September 27th, 2015. That was the blood moon triad. What does it mean? We are still wondering. But this one, this moon, this eclipse of the moon now, lunar eclipse, is the last one of a series of, a long series of blood moons. I don't know what it means, and I don't know what to say about it, except that we live in interesting times. Oh boy, don't we. And we will see what we see. Things could change. We can be pretty sure they will. And I have mentioned that in other countries, they are promoting concepts of war with the United States. So that's something that could change. War. Maybe another world war. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned China and Russia and North Korea and Iraq. And 1 week ago, I mentioned China and Russia and North Korea because they all had issued new threats of war against the United States. And now, just days ago, Iran threatened to destroy the United States army bases in its region and to annihilate Israel. So guess what the response was of the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo? He said in a news message to the Iranian President Rouhani, "Never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before." Interesting. So that's the U.S. response. And this in the midst of these days when Iran is getting ready to test fire its nuclear capacity missile. France objected to it, but it looks like Iran is still going to do it. So, words of war are around us. Will they get to an action, the point of action? They might, because this is how wars usually start, with aggressive words, and after a time we see the actions manifest. So, we know how things end in biblical terms, but just in terms of what's going on now, it is not unusual for such aggressive words to be escalated into an aggressive war. We'll see. We'll see. But should we be a little prepared? Well, to me it only makes sense. Just days ago, the head of the United States Navy, Admiral Richardson, had a scheduled meeting with his Chinese counterpart. The U.S. had the ideas for this meeting, the goals of this meeting, which were to prevent a United States and China miscalculation, which would lead to war. Well, for us, that's a good goal. But what attitude are we coming up against? Well, I think it speaks loudly when we can see what his Chinese admiral counterpart, the counterpart to the head of the U.S. Navy, the head of the Chinese Navy. What he said was that Beijing could settle its trade dispute with Washington by sinking two United States aircraft carriers. And he continued, because the United States fears its casualties, and sinking two aircraft carriers would result in the death of 5,000 Navy personnel per ship. Wow, those are aggressive words, aren't they? What could be in store for us? Oh boy. We have people who are speaking words of war to the United States. And to me, it only makes sense to remember to get a little bit prepared. We don't know what's coming. We have an idea of what could come, but we also know that if we do nothing, we don't have any preparations. What could happen? It's a good question. Russia has been issuing advisories and warnings about a war using its hypersonic weapons. Really, it means against the United States. And China's leader, Xi Jinping, recently told his troops to prepare for war in 2019. That's this year. Well, how are we supposed to take such warnings? Good question. What should we do? Our government can protect us nationally, but we should think about our own needs and the needs of the people around us, whether they're family or community. That just in case is a real question of what just might happen. What just might happen if all these nations agree to attack the United States at the same time? Or what if these nations attacked the United States after a natural disaster hit the United States, like a Yellowstone or an earthquake on one coast or the other? Well, these ideas have been stated by people with prophetic ministries. This has been going on for years now, but somehow we just don't seem to hear. We don't seem to listen to these messages of warnings. And certainly, it's not like I know either. I don't. But I do listen. And while I am skeptical of people who propose a prophetic message or a prophetic orientation, I still do kind of remember what they say, and I consider what if what they say lines up with prophecy. And maybe it does hold truth. And there again, my orientation towards preparedness just activates, and I get concerned a little bit for my neighbors, for the people around me, my friends, the people in church, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why I don't just dismiss these words that are given as prophecy. I ponder them and how they could be true. It's not quite like I believe them, but I know that they could be true. And especially now, when I see the world conditions swirling around, which could turn the United States into an occupied nation or an attacked nation. Well, I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen, but I know that there are words being spoken and the possibilities are swirling around us. Maybe in 10 weeks something happens just shocking, and it might be in 10 years that things could completely change. I sure don't know. Our future is a question, and I certainly do not know when or if anything can happen. But we do have plenty of possibilities of what could happen. One of them is computer systems. A virus happening, or even an algorithm that predicts our future That's what artificial intelligence is doing these days. There's lots of things going on. And from the news, we know that the social media companies are becoming interlocked and sharing plenty of information that really should be confidential. And on January 11th, 2019, Hal Lindsey did a report on this. And he referred a lot to a New York Times article. But he stated how much information was getting shared, apparently without restraint, by all these companies, from Facebook to Apple to Spotify to Netflix to Yahoo. And also that Facebook was sharing the information that it had with the Chinese company Huawei. And they shared their information with the Chinese Communist Party, which rules China. That's the government of China. And also that Facebook was sharing their information with Yandex of Russia, who has connections with the Russian KGB. Well, is this data sharing really true? It probably is. And only time will tell what it really means and if it makes a difference in our life or not. Time will tell. And what difference does it make if artificial intelligence reads our mail, or the notes that we write to our family, or to our doctor, or to our business associates? What difference does it make anyway? I'm not sure. But I do wonder about the thousands of cameras that are recording where we go every day. Yes, here in the United States, but it happens ever so much more in England. All the large cities in England are like that. And it is that way in China, too. In China, every single citizen is monitored, every single one. And every single citizen has a social responsibility score. And if you're not socially responsible, like if you do not pay your bills on time, well, that's a problem. And if you throw your litter on the ground, that's a problem. If you jaywalk, that's a problem. If you do not visit your elderly parents, that's a problem. So, if you are put into a couple of problem areas, then you, the Chinese citizen, are not allowed to fly in an airplane, and you will be restricted on which buses you are allowed to take, because they have their cards that they have to insert with the bus ticket, and those cards let you travel from one place to another based on your authorization. So it's not like you buy your ticket and you go places. No, you put your card in, and it tells you if you can go or not. It tells you if you can buy luxury items like coffee and chocolate or a smartphone. And that's the way it is in China today, right now, today. The technology is advancing so fast that it could happen in any country. And with all of our international information being transferred and easily shared, it could happen anywhere. Hal Lindsey says that we are being prepared to bring about a one-world government system which can accommodate the Antichrist. Pretty interesting. Yeah, one more idea I heard Hal Lindsey say, and that was that perhaps the word pestilence could mean a virus. And he said, could that mean a computer virus? Whoa. Can you think of, if we had a computer virus, how many people it could affect or kill? It's just one of those great, big, huge questions. A computer virus could play havoc with our everything from our electrical grid to our communication to our water supply systems. Yes, it is another form of virus, perhaps, and it can kill. Interesting question, huh? So, would God allow a virus to exist that could kill us? Whether it was a computer virus or a regular virus like H1N1. Well, God allows things, that's for sure. And that gives us a real choice with real consequences. And we get to choose between evil and good. That's freedom. God gives us freedom. We get to choose. And we get to suffer the consequences, the real consequences that would come to us. So let's remember to call upon the Lord and look forward to living in a world without pain. That's heaven, and that's where we will go when we are Christ followers. Okay, so if we can avoid troubled times, I think we like that. But we surely do not need to be frightened in any way. No, and preparation helps us to not be frightened. With preparations, we can more easily be an overcomer. And without preparations, we have to rely on somebody or an entity to survive. So that's just the way it's always been. You can look at the world right now, today, that's the way it is. And if you want, you can look back to ancient Egypt when Joseph represented the Pharaoh of Egypt. Joseph stored the grain up for the famine, and Joseph gave the farmers grain in exchange for their animals, and then he gave them grain in exchange for their land, and then he gave them grain when they agreed to become slaves for Pharaoh. All this is talked about in Genesis chapter 47. Have a look at it. You can see the progression, and to me it shows the importance that we have a storehouse of supply, and in particular, a storehouse of food. Yes, I advocate that yet again. Maybe there's somebody who thinks that we no longer need to be concerned with famine in a time like today. Well, look closely, because there's famine in so many parts of the world, just not here right now. There's famine in Venezuela, in Africa, in India. And before that, in China, and before that, in Russia. Famines even in the United States, there was famine during the Great Depression, and millions of people died. So in all these famines of the last 100 years, for instance, there have been hundreds of millions of people who have died, surely 300 million. And that's a lot of people. Why? Because they didn't have enough food. Starvation was the biggest reason for people's death at that time in these various situations. So, yes, famines do happen. And biblically, we see the examples too. The Bible talks about restoring all that the cankerworm has eaten. So, yeah, it was a concern then, and it certainly can be a concern for these days also. It's important. Lots of things are important. Holiness is important too, but that's a little different subject. Okay. Hope in our future, that's important, and our heart condition is important. Are we tender-hearted to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, I think We sure want to be. That's better than following follow your tender heart instead of the law. You know that there are 613 laws which the Old Testament Jews were required to follow? And then they got a break. They had only 10 commandments to follow. And you can make an argument that today there are only two commandments, the two great commandments of Matthew 22:38. Love God and love your neighbor. Well, however you view this, it is important to keep your hearts tender and obedient to the will of God. And I also like to remember 1 Peter 1:16, which says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Oh, what a goal that is. We want to be holy and do this actively. Don't just try, but actually do it. Because after all, don't we want to fit right into heaven? Yes, so we want to be holy because heaven is a holy place. And I understand we're not perfect, but let's aspire to God's holiness. And sometimes we have to be concerned with the normal things of life, like water, food, warmth, and security. But other times we can just think about holiness and being obedient to God's will. That's pretty exciting to me. So we go about and we try to figure out how we can live this holy life and do it in a way where we are loving to our neighbors. It's all a part of life, and it's all a part of what we want to do and who we want to be. We want to belong to God, and it's a part of this. We seek His will and do His will. So we can have all sorts of problems here on earth, that's for sure. We could have problems with food, yes, or we could have problems with, I don't know, I think of things like Social Security too, because we have baby boomers, 10,000 a day who are retiring, and they are all ready to collect Social Security. What are we going to do about that? How are we going to get through that expense? And each passing day, our national debt grows. What could happen? Anything could happen. We could have a new banking system. We could have national bankruptcies throughout the world. There are all sorts of things that could happen, and we want to orient towards God's view as to how to solve these problems. And that's what happened when our country, our nation was created. The founders looked to the principles of God to create a new government structure. Well, nations have had troubles, they still do, and all around the world, nations have had trouble paying their debts. And that is so sure to happen here with our huge, huge debt. What will happen? Well, we don't know, but we could have a new banking system, new money, a World Bank under the United Nations, and those things could change all the things that we take for granted today as a world that is stable and under control. It's just a question. Well, in these days, I think it's important to look at what happens, and also that we look at our spiritual areas of life, that we sure, look at uncertainties, but focus on the unchangeable Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, by whose blood our sins were washed away. He gave His life for me, and now I give my life to Jesus. Amazing and wonderful, isn't it? Live for Jesus forever. And I think of all these things and how we are facing uncertainty in the days ahead with, after Jesus departed, He said that there will be grievous wolves entering among you that will not spare the flock. So what will happen? Well, I don't know, but I think it's important to pray for others. Pray for the missionaries that are far off. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for your enemies. Pray to intercede for others, some who have fallen and some who are strangers, and some who need a little help or a lot of help. Pray for your loved ones. Pray that you are faithful to God, and pray for God's will to be done. Pray for people to be prepared to share the good news of the gospel. Keep on loving and keep on praying. Jesus arose from the dead, and through Jesus the Christ, we also can be alive with Christ Jesus forever. Thank you for listening today. And you can listen to any other broadcast of Christ Today you want by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase. And if you like these broadcasts and would like them to continue, please consider a donation, which would go towards my broadcast costs. And also, you can write to me for my free Preparedness Thoughts pamphlet. And please send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send those right back to you. That is to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.